Good morning from Independence Baptist Church. This is John Alls. We want to welcome you to the broadcast this morning. And we are very thankful that the Lord has allowed us to have this ministry, and we pray that you've received many blessings from it. Now, the last few weeks, we've been talking about the greatness of God Almighty, and I wanted to finish up this month with another message about God. Now, this time, however, the message will be titled, How Much Do We Really Know About God? He's an awesome and a powerful God, and we've studied some of the things about him over these last few weeks. But, you know, just a few messages would never come close to even beginning to show us how powerful and great he is. So let's listen in as Pastor Reynolds shares a few more things about the powerful God that we serve.
This morning, I'd like to look in the book of Psalms 46 and verse 10 and consider the subject, How Much Do We Really Know About God? Psalms 46, verse 10 states, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The question this morning is, how much do we really know about God? I know that the book of Job, chapter 26, beginning in verse 14, the Bible said, Lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? And so Job has just related some things concerning nature and how that God moves and how that God has hung the earth upon nothing and how that God binds waters in a cloud. That's an amazing thing. And that the cloud is not rent under the weight of all that water. And how that God has set bounds for the oceans and the waters and all of that kind of thing, and how that he divided the sea with his speaking and all of these. And these things are just little bitty things that we know somewhat about God. But who really is God? Let me ask you the question. What does God look like? What does God look like? Now, the Bible said in Psalms 46 and verse 10 that we should be still and know that God is God. And so, what does God look like? Take some time to contemplate what God looks like. John chapter 4, verse 24 makes this statement. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The fact is that we don't know what God looks like, because he is a spirit. He is without physical form. Now, I don't believe that God is like a ghost or a milky-looking mist that we are able to see through. The fact is that we just don't know what he looks like. Now, somebody might quote this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Some people use Genesis 1:26 to mean that God looks like men, or rather that God created man to look like him. And when he said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, I don't believe that. God is a spirit, and men are physical. They are in human form. But I believe that Genesis 1:26 is stating that just as God is in three parts, that is, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one, so is a man in three parts, spirit, soul, and body, and yet a man is one. I think that's what he's meaning there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We don't know what God looks like. In the book of 1 John, John wrote this, and he says, We do not know what we shall be, but we do know that whenever we are resurrected, that we are going to look like Jesus, for we're going to see him as he is. In other words, in the resurrected body, we shall be like Jesus, although now we are in physical form and not a spiritual form. So what does God look like? He is a spirit. Frankly, the image of God is more than we could ever take in, that we could ever explain or visualize. It was Moses who desired to see God. And it was God that put Moses down in the cleft of the rock. And God passed by, and then he removed his hand from the cleft of the rock so that Moses could see his hind parts. And that was all Moses could stand. Moses was in the mount with God for 40 days and 40 nights as he received commandments from God about building the tabernacle. And when Moses came down from the mount, the Bible said that his face shone so brightly that the people of Israel could not stand to look upon him. And all Moses was a reflection of the true God. And so how great is God? What does he look like? We don't know. But I know that he is a magnificent God. I know that when God appeared at the tabernacle, that he appeared in a cloud. I know that when God appeared in Solomon's temple, he appeared in a cloud. He hid himself. Why? Because no man can look upon God and live. What does God look like? He is a spirit. One of these days, when we have a glorified body, we shall look upon him and we shall see him face to face. But right now, we cannot stand in the physical bodies in which we live. We cannot stand to look upon God or to see him or even to visualize what he looks like. I'm just waiting on my glorified body, and then I shall see my Savior face to face. Isn't that a grand proposition to think about? Now notice this. Where does God live? Where does God live? Why, yes, everybody lives somewhere, don't they? So where does God live? Before we begin the discussion about where God lives, I think it'd be interesting to note this, that God not only possesses life, he is life. Now think with me. God not only possesses life, he is life. It is not that someone has given God life, therefore he possesses it like you and I. Because God gave us life, therefore we have life. But God himself is life. God is the source of all life, and in the creation it was God who gave life. He gave life to plants, to animals, and he gave life to humans. I know there's different kinds of life that God has given, but the fact I'm trying to bring out here is that God is life, and he has given life to others. But where is it that God lives? Notice two things. Number one, that is on this earth that Jerusalem is the city of God. That's where David's throne was, and that is where the throne of Jesus will be during the millennial reign. Notice the passage, Psalms 48, verse 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Notice Psalms 48, verse 1. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, this is talking about Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the earthly dwelling place of God Almighty. This is why all this battle is going on in Israel now. This is why it's all happening. There's a battle between God and Satan, between good and evil, if you would. God is going to rule this world from Jerusalem. That's where he's going to sit on his throne. At the present time, however, Satan is desiring to put his man on that throne, which will be in Jerusalem. Notice that this earth is a replica, could we say, or an image, could we say, of the things that are in heaven. Notice in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through verse 14, here's the story concerning how Satan is going to sit on the sides of the north in heaven. Notice the passage. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice now that Satan is desiring to sit on God's throne, which is in heaven. At the same time, going on this world, Satan is trying, and he will accomplish this, to establish his kingdom, and his dupe, the Antichrist, will sit on God's throne in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist will say that he is God. That's what the Bible tells us here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. So where does God live? God lives in the sides of the north in heaven. And I know that God has created this entire world. And I know that nothing can be big enough for God to dwell in. I understand that. And I know you do. So where does God live? His throne is in the sides of the north in heaven. But one of these days, the habitation of God will be with men. And he will sit on his throne in Jerusalem and will rule this world with a rod of iron. We're looking forward to that day. Another question that we might ask ourselves is, when was God born? Or when did he come into existence? Well, the fact is that God does not have a birthday. I think everybody knows that. God does not have a birthday. Somebody would say, well, now the birthday of Jesus is Christmas Day. No, it's not. Actually, that day is the birthday of a pagan god. But Jesus simply came into this world to die for sinners, taking upon himself the form of a human being. But Jesus himself has never had a birthday, because Jesus is God, and God never had a beginning, and God will never have an end. Jesus did not have his beginning when he came into this world about 2,000 years ago. Jesus didn't have a beginning when the earth was created some 6,000 years ago. But Jesus is God. He always was. He's never had a birthday. And one of these days, we're going to see him face to face.
You know, he may not be standing physically right in front of us in a physical form, but every day we can see his power and his works over and over and over again. You know, when we talk about God and his power, of course, the topic of creation almost always comes up in my mind. Now, Pastor Reynolds wrote a book titled The 6,000-Year-Old Earth, and it covers and deals with creation and the age of the earth. And you can download a copy of this book for free from our website. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And, of course, there's many other books and articles on our website that we want you to take a look at. And you'll also be able to listen to many of the messages that have been preached from Independence Baptist Church. And, of course, we're always encouraged to see new people come to our services. So, of course, we've posted directions to the church as well as the times of the church services on that website. Of course, you can also call and leave your contact information at 636-673-2180 if you have additional comments or questions. And, of course, we'd always be glad to send you a CD of the broadcast or a copy of one of the books that Pastor Reynolds has written, or even a CD of one of the sermons that have been preached here at Independence Baptist Church. We do not want you to hesitate to contact us for any of these things. You know, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast, we're just thankful that the Lord has blessed us in a way that we can have a radio broadcast and that we can have the website ministry and the books and the CD ministry that the Lord has provided for us. So we want you to go ahead and call or send us an email, contact us, and let us know if you need any of that information whatsoever. Now, of course, looks like we're out of time again this morning, so I'll have to close out. But I don't want you to forget, of course, to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.